Welcome to Behind the Dub, a podcast series talking to voice actors about their experiences in the industry and the shows they've worked on. Following on from my first episode, I'm talking to another star of the anime series Dragon Goes House Hunting, the delightful Eli Farmer.
Thank you very much, Eli, for your time today. I know that you must be trying to get everything you can these days. It does seem to be a very active medium right now. Everyone, especially doing it remotely, everyone's seems to be connecting in from all over the show. So, if it's okay with yourself, could you introduce yourself and we'll go from there?
Yeah, absolutely. So for folks watching, my name is Eli Farmer, professional voice actor, air quotes. So I definitely consider myself very much a novice, or maybe I'd say novice to intermediate, somewhere in that zone. So I've only been acting probably a little under 3 years. So I'm 26, and what's really ironic about this, in high school I actually went to a performing arts academy, but took no theater, no singing, no dancing classes. I literally just took regular high school courses. So where I grew up, the way that our city is set up, every high school has a specific academy associated with it. So that was just the one that was closest to my house. Wow. So yeah, who would have thought that years later I'd be kicking myself being like, man, I really should have taken advantage of those classes when I was a teenager. But I work out of Dallas, so that's where I'm based out of. But my background is actually in athletics. So I wrestled in high school. I also wrestled collegiately. I have a degree in exercise science. So I'm totally like a dude bro, weightlifter, love exercise, who just happens to also really enjoy anime as well, and was lucky enough to meet some really great people that introduced me into voice acting.
Oh, no, that's really cool. You're definitely the jock then. So you're not the nerdy type, you're definitely a jock. Unlike me, I'm just a great big massive nerd. Hated sports, couldn't like anything like that. But I do love anime, and I love voice acting. I don't voice act or anything on myself. I wish I did, but I love watching anime. And and it's basically sort of following on from my last sort of episode for those who are watching, and basically is I discovered yourself because you voiced Daniel the Kobold in Dragon Goes House Hunting episode 8. Was it 8 or 7? I can't remember.
Seven,
that's it.
You're right there.
I was like, oh, no, fail. Last fertile, that's me, that's gone. And I did have a look on your website, and it seems to me you've done a lot of commercial work.
Living large comes naturally for the all-new Chevy Spark, a small car with cool technologies and live Apple CarPlay. It comes in 10 fun colors to suit your personality style. The city never sleeps, and neither does the Chevy Spark.
Yeah, how many commercials have you done, could you say?
Oh my gosh, if I had to guesstimate... probably I would say the ones I've booked, I'm probably in the upper like teens, maybe 20s. Again, I've only been voice acting for probably about, you know, like I said, a little under 3 years. But here's the thing that people that don't know that are on the outside of the voiceover sphere. So I'm someone who's got sort of a base in commercial work that's now crossing over into character. Most character voice actors, they want to do the opposite. They want to come to commercial because this is where all the money is, on the commercial side. So while I've only booked, you know, a handful of commercial things, those jobs pay multiple digits more than the character work does. So while I don't work a whole lot, it pays the bills.
So it's one of those, it's almost certainly like we've probably heard you at some point in some, was it like Dunkin' Donuts or Spotify, or because I heard the demo reel, I'm sure I've heard this voice before. I'm sure I've heard it before. Even though I'm in the UK, sometimes your adverts do cross over sometimes, so you can hear things. Would you say commercial work is easier than doing sort of character work, or, you know, which do you kind of prefer at the moment?
Yeah, I would say that it's two different types of skills. I wouldn't say one's necessarily easier than the other. I feel like commercial work is more like laser pointed and finite because, you know, when someone's going to listen, well, I can't say for every casting director, but a commercial director is probably going to listen to about 4 seconds of what you have to say. And if you don't kill it in those first 4 seconds, boom, they're moving on. Whereas when someone's looking for the perfect fit for a character, I feel like they give it a little bit more time to breathe, give it a little more time to see the person's acting ability before they make their decision. Whereas with commercial, it's like you're either the perfect voice or you're not the perfect voice, and we're under a short deadline. We got to make these deadlines. We got to go quick, fast. Whereas I think voiceover as a whole is kind of a speedy industry, but commercial is like super express lane.
Yeah, because it must be quite interesting. Just it's like, right, we've got today Subway, and then we've got this doctor's or this chemist thing. Well, this new drug. What? Oh. How many sessions do you say you do on an average week?
Yeah, in an average week. So I would say I'm probably somewhere in the 20 to 30, somewhere 20 to 30 range a week. Because commercial auditions are a lot faster to get done than character auditions, which is the, like I said, the express component, right? So I might get a commercial script that's four lines. And they say, all right, we need three different takes of these four different lines, right? And so that maybe takes, I don't know, 5 to 8 minutes and then edit it and send it off. Whereas with a character, all right, I'm going to do some research. I need to figure out, all right, like, What information can I find? What's nice about anime is that you can actually watch the thing before you audition for it. So you can do a little bit more of that research in. But with a commercial, I mean, you can look up the brand, but yeah. a lot of times with commercials, what they're trying to do is they're like, we want something different than what we just did. So it almost doesn't even really help you to research the prior commercial because they're like, we're going in a totally different direction now.
Did you watch any Dragon Goes House Hunting before you auditioned, or was it just you auditioned and you just got it and you found out later?
Yeah. So I watched the show to audition. So I wasn't like just recreationally watching. It is a show that was on my radar because I do keep up. I'm a big anime fan myself. So I do keep up with the new seasonal shows and things that are coming out. It was funny when I got the audition for this show. I remember looking through and I was like, I can't do any of these characters. There's no way. there's no way I'll be able to do any of these. And so I kind of let it sit for a little bit. I was like, yeah. And so we got two waves of auditions for Dragon Ghost House Hunting. So the first one were characters like Letty and Diaria. And so that was the one where I was like, absolutely not. No way. I can't do any of these waves. And so then we got a second set and I was like, Eli, you got to pull the trigger. Like, you can't just, you know, be so wishy-washy about these auditions. Like, what do you have to lose? You know, the worst that happens is that like someone listens and thinks that doesn't sound good and, you know, they move on. And so I auditioned for pretty much like everyone that I could on that sheet for that second set of auditions. And it was funny. So Daniel was actually not on that list. So when I got the part for Daniel, it was like, Alexis was like, hey, I really liked what you were doing. And I thought, even though I'm not going to necessarily cast you for one of these characters, there is another character that I think you would be great for, and that was Daniel.
Yes, you really did suit the character. When I heard the voice, I'm like, yep, perfect. It's really, really good. So that cool, suave, you know, it was so good. It kind of makes me wish, I wish there was more of those characters. I was speaking to my husband, I was saying, I kind of wish that arena episode was maybe like a two-parter, personally, so we had more time with the characters, because they were so fun.
Yeah,
you know, you've got like Steve the horse and Daniel's arch. It was so much fun. I'm like, oh, why can't we have more? It was so much more. Because how much anime do you watch? Because when I talked to Michael and Steven, they sort of said because they're in the industry a little bit, they don't really watch as much as they'd like. Do you still watch anime avidly, or do you not?
Yeah, so I would say that again, this comes with the benefit of being new and fresh, right? Like I don't have like decades of being jaded or bitter. Not that they're jaded and bitter, but you get what I'm saying. Like the more time you spend with it, the less exciting it is. Like for example, like I said, I'm a big fitness person. I love exercise. I love working out. Or someone that just gets started, they're like, "Wow, this is the most fun, exciting thing I've ever done." Well, for me, who's done it for almost 20 plus years, it's like, yeah, another workout, like just got to keep the body loose, like, you know, just going through the motions. So it's kind of the inverse there. So for me, it is still very new and fresh and exciting. And I do watch a good deal of anime. I'm a huge My Hero Academia fan. My Hero is actually the anime that I would say really motivated me to start voiceover.
Oh, wow, really?
Yes, that was the show that really made me be like, all right, this is something that I want to do. This is something that I want to try. I want to pursue. So the character, do you watch My Hero Academia by chance?
I tried watching it. I might need to give it a second try at some point.
Okay, totally fine. Because you can't assume, even though it's like mega popular. So there's this character, his name's Mirio Togeda. And he's played by Rico Fajardo, who's an excellent voice actor, super talented. But I remember I was reading the manga for My Hero, and I saw the character, and I thought, oh, man, that character would be so cool to voice, like, in a show. And you just got the wheels turning, and I was like, maybe I should try this voice acting thing. And I'd kind of looked at the timeline, and I was like, okay, so this, and this sounds so ridiculous thinking back on it. I was like, all right, so he'll probably make his anime appearance in, like, I don't know, like another 2 to 3 years. By that time, I'll probably be skilled and talented enough to where I'll be able to audition for it, and I'll definitely get the role. And so that was like my driving force to kind of pursue voice acting and get the right coaching and learn how to use my voice in the correct way so that, you know, I could be competitive against these actors that have been doing it for decades. Obviously, I didn't get that part. I wasn't even anywhere near the point where I could audition for that part. But I think having that motivator helped accelerate my timeline more so than maybe if I was more lax about my approach.
I noticed you mentioned is it James Arnold Taylor on on your website. I know him as Ratchet, and that's pretty much it, just Ratchet.
Yeah.
And you said he was a bit of an influence on you.
Absolutely. So this totally plays into like the dude bro-ist of me, right? So for folks that have ever played Final Fantasy X, there's the character Tidus, or some people call Titus. I say Tidus.
I say Titus, but Taylor's hard
enough. Yeah, I was like, you know, different strokes, different folks. So for the character Tidus, so when I was in elementary school, so prior to like getting into exercise and fitness and all that stuff, I was super out of shape. My mom used to call me Bubble because I was so round. I tell people I was built like a Thanksgiving turkey. Like I had this big midsection, these teeny little arms and these teeny little legs. I was super uncoordinated, couldn't catch a ball, couldn't run a mile. And so I remember playing Final Fantasy X for the first time and the character of Tidus, who was this super outgoing, super like just confident character who, I mean, you know, you kind of learn that he's got some insecurities in there as well, but he had this, you know, aura of being this really cool character. I was like, wow, this character is so cool. And, you know, watching his story and watching him progress and mature and thinking like, man, that's the kind of person that I want to be when I get older. You know, I want to be the person that takes charge and isn't afraid to take risk and go after the things that they want. And it wasn't until years later that I learned that James Arnold Taylor was the voice of Tidus. And so here was this character that was so influential to kind of my childhood and making me more outgoing and making me take those steps and take those chances, you know, then figuring out who the real person was. I was like, oh, and he's a voice actor and he's a really interesting, cool guy who's got his own interesting story. If you've ever got the chance, I'd highly recommend checking out his podcast, you know, where he talks about his kind of foray into voiceover and some of the obstacles that he's had to overcome, which is, it was really cool. But that's besides the point. So James Arnold Taylor was my big influence just throughout my life. And yes, Ratchet & Clank was actually the first PS2 game I ever owned. Wow. So that was really cool. Like, so he's been integrated into my childhood for far more than I probably realized because he's voiced so many characters and small bit parts through various shows. So,
have you ever met him?
I have not, but we actually follow each other on Twitter. so I had tweeted out, I don't know, probably a year and a half ago, I tweeted out about just how excited I was getting into voiceover and how James Arnold Taylor was this big influence on me. And he saw it and was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that I was able to, you know, to do that for you. And I was just like, oh, over the moon. You know, this is like my childhood hero who is giving me the thumbs up green light of approval. So I hope that we get to meet at some point in the future.
To use the cliche, it's like, senpai, notice me. Because I'll admit, when I was, growing up, I was a teenager, but Pokemon was new when I watched the anime. Yeah. And I learned of the voice actor for Brock and James, a guy called Eric Stewart. Okay. And he had his own band, and I emailed him. And emailed back, and I'm still in contact with him to this day.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's a really nice guy. He's super busy these days, and he doesn't really do anime anymore. But it's like, he's the voice of Brock and James. He's the original Brock and James. Oh my God. Yeah. I got to meet him in 2017. And the first thing he said to me was, you've cut your hair. Because I literally cut my hair that day. They're like, you cut your hair. I'm like, what? You look at my Facebook or something?
He's a real friend. Keen to the detail.
But so I'm guessing you really want to meet James Arnold Taylor one day.
Yeah, it would be an absolute blast, I think, just to kind of, you know, share stories and swap information and getting the opportunity. I'm putting myself in his shoes, you know. I imagine getting the opportunity to meet someone that you had such an impact on is probably incredibly fulfilling. That's one of the experiences that I got to have coaching youth sports. Right? I used to coach, you know, middle school wrestling, and you know, you see a kid win a match, you see a kid win a medal, and he's like, "Thanks, coach, for teaching me," and just that sense of fulfillment, man. Like, "Oh man!" So I would love to, I guess, give him the chance to feel that.
Oh, that'd be really sweet. It's been hard to sort of find what you've sort of done, because I'm guessing you've done more commercials than you've done character work. Is there any new character work that you've got coming up soon that you can talk about, or is it all you can't say a word?
So I'm trying to think. Most of the things that I have done recently, so I've been in two Steam games that came out so long ago. So there is a game called Sierra Ops. I play a character named Alan, and he's more of a regal, like a type of just very insecure and mysterious, but he's always focused on the mission and getting things done right. And he's this very kind of just cool, suave character that I so like don't feel like in person.
But you do sound it.
So there's character Alan I play, and I also play this character Gray in this game called Heart Fragment. That just came out not too long ago. And it's definitely a character that's for sure out of my range. But it was a really cool experience getting to try, because he's more of this grizzled sort of kind of father figure type who's very hard on his daughter. But he loves her and wants her to know that, you know, that she means the world to him. And so that's kind of the gray-ish voice. Again, that's one of the ones, like I was saying, I got that role when I had just started, like, really voice acting. And so I think back now, listening to it, I'm like, oh man, I was such a newbie then, and so many more of the things that I know now that I could probably pull more out of it. Like, for example, like how I just kind of gave you that little how it sort of sounds. Yeah. If I was going to actually record that now, I would record it as soon as I woke up in the morning, where my voice is actually down.
Oh yeah, when you sound a bit rough,
yeah. Because my voice has a tendency, most males, at least what I've been told, is that our voices have a tendency to like go down when we're trying to like sound cool or we're trying to sound excited. I'm totally opposite. My voice goes like squeak high as soon as I get excited about things. And so learning how to pull that down into that deeper part of your register was something that I feel like I could utilize a lot better now. So those would, I would say, be the two most recent character things that I did. There is another one that I did do that popped into my head, but that one I cannot talk about. So my character stuff, I would say it's probably one out of every 50 auditions is a character one, and then the rest of it's going to be commercial stuff for me.
Is there any particular show at the minute that you would love to be part of?
Oh, My Hero Academia. But then there's always the classics, you know, like Dragon Ball. I know there's a new movie on the rim here.
Oh, yeah, there is, yeah.
And I'm also a huge Digimon fan.
I'm a big Digimon fan. Yep.
Yeah. So there is the remake, the Twin Tier remake that's not airing in Japan. I'm assuming, you know, if I was going to take a dice roll, they're probably going to dub that. And so, hey, if you need some characters to do some Digimon voices, or just maybe you want to add a new kid in there, let me know.
Well, there is a new series as well. Ghost something. I know they announced a new series and a new movie for
Correct.
That. So if it gets dubbed, because I've been watching an anime today. It's called Yukoko no Moriarty, or Moriarty the Patriot, and I'm like, oh, this is so good.
I thought I saw an ad for this not too long ago. So
really good.
I'm gonna have to check out.
is there any that you're watching at the minute, other than My Hero Academia, any other ones that you're really watching at the minute?
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking, I was like, there are, but I'm watching them for the purposes of auditioning. So I don't think that I can say.
That's just because I have to say, for me, I watched Beastars season 2 recently because the dub came out of that. That was really good. And my husband tried out this Moriarty the Patriot, and it's like, oh, it's good. I watched it. Oh, this is good. So yeah, that's good. I'm going to be watching that for next week or so.
The last thing that I watched was a movie, actually, Hathaway's Flash on Netflix. It's a Gundam series, or it's part of the Gundam universe.
Okay.
And I actually just last week started watching Shaman King on Netflix.
I've heard of that.
The remake of that is very good. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And it's so funny because I watched the original, you know, back when I was a kid, and I'm watching it. And I was like, wow, this show is like just as good as I remember. It's cool when things like work out like that.
Have you done any video game, any more video game work, I should say? Because I only mentioned two.
Let me think here. So I actually do, every now and again, I'll get these kind of scripts. So I have, lots of people have voice acting coaches, you know, that have kind of like taught them and instructed them. And lots of people have multiple coaches that they've worked with. But I think it's kind of like the athlete in me, like the athletics background, that the first coach I had was like, all right, this is my coach and I'm sticking with him. And like, he's going to be the person that I go to for everything, which a lot of people would say, Eli, you need to diversify your skill set and get different perspectives, you know, to each their own. I've got this really great coach that, you know, kind of taught me everything that I know, that I've kept in contact with throughout my entire process. And we still chat pretty regularly to this day. His name's David Rosenthal. Great. Can't recommend him highly enough.
Sounds really familiar, that name. Sounds really familiar.
So he's the head of GVAA, the Global Voice Acting Academy. So it's probably, I would think, the most kind of like structured way you could kind of get voice acting coaching. So Dave every so often will send me these scripts and auditions, and he sends me these kind of almost like bit parts for these games that are produced overseas in like China and stuff. What they'll need is they'll just need someone to just do like a few English kind of lines and grunts and noises and things. So that I'm doing stuff like that quite a bit. So it's never anything that's really credited. It's like, I'm, you know, background chef number four that grunted four times and said hello.
So you're probably in Genshin Impact or something and don't realize.
So not that one. That would be a cool one to add, a cool feather to add to the cap. I feel like so many voice actors are doing that game nowadays.
Smite, that's it. I keep looking up Smite, keeps cropping up as well.
Yeah, lots of folks are in Smite as well.
The name of the new Digimon series is Digimon Ghost Game in Japan.
Yes.
So, ooh, maybe. Get, you know, I would love to hear you in that.
Hey, someone give me a call. I'm ready. Put me in, coach.
You know, because now you said you've been in trying this for like a couple of years now. Yeah. Is there anything that you know now that you wish you knew a couple of years ago?
Yeah. Oh, there's tons of things that I wish I would have known years ago. Oh, my gosh. Pretty much the first thing that pops into my mind is editing. There's so many things that I know about editing my auditions now that would have helped me massively. It should take me like hours to edit an audition. Now I can do it in a couple of minutes because so many more things are automated. And just also knowing like, okay, that's not that big of a deal. Like, you don't need to edit that out. It's okay to like have a breath every now and again. Yeah. It doesn't need to be complete total silence from start to finish, or just microphone technique. You know, hey, here's things that you can eat that are gonna dissolve some of those mouth noises so there's not as much popping and clicking on the microphone. So I was telling Alexis this. Alexis was the director for Dragon Ghost House Hunting.
Alexis Tipton, I think, is her name.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I was telling her about this when we were recording. I was like, hey, just a heads up, I probably produce more mouth noise than the average person, because actually from wrestling, I dislocated my jaw. Oh. And so sometimes it clicks and pops and sits in weird places. So I was like, hey, just so you know, there's going to be a lot of mouth noise when I record. And she was like, oh, totally understandable. So again, knowing things like how to mitigate that would have been super helpful. Another thing too, I would say is, and this is just good life advice, I think, for anyone, but comparison really is the thief of joy. You know, if you are just getting started in voice acting or whatever it is, even if it's just, you know, you're taking a class with someone, don't compare yourself to that person. And you definitely don't want to be comparing yourself to people that have been in the industry for 10, 15, 20 years, because you're just on completely different timetables. And it's not always even just a matter of experience. It's a matter of fit. Like my voice, you know, it's kind of in that youthful range, right? Like it's kind of in that younger, kind of more relaxed cadence. And I know that the 60-year-old wise sage is probably not the voice for me. And so just understanding that you're not going to be able to be this Swiss Army knife, you know, that can do every single voice for every single show, and just really focusing on what it is you're good at and what your lane is and becoming the best version of you instead of a second-rate version of someone else.
See, that's really good advice. That is such good advice. just one that I just thought of. I found one thing amongst some voice actors is that they can sing. Can you sing?
Absolutely not. No, I cannot sing to save my life. Gun to my head, is like, Eli, sing a song. We're all going out. There's not a chance.
That's it. Pretty much the same with me. Because I found with some that I've talked to, it's like everyone can sing. And I'm like, how can everyone can sing? Everyone's multi-talented. I can't do anything.
No, not at all. So you know what's interesting is when I recorded with Alexis, I remember her asking me, she's like, do you have any kind of musical background? She was like, because it was my first time ever dubbing. So Dragon Ghost House was my first time ever doing a dub. It was also my first time ever doing remote recording over Source Connect. And so basically they let you hear the part in Japanese so you can kind of get the inflection, kind of get the tone, kind of get context for the scene. And then you hear the boop, 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 you hear the three beeps, and then you go and you read your lines. And I told her, you know, this is my first time. And she's like, okay, cool, cool, cool. So, you know, I'll make sure I guide and kind of have more of a gentler hand as we go through this. Even though I think that she probably would have done that even if I wasn't a newbie. Because she's just such a great first director to have worked with. Can't, like, sing her praises enough. But anyway, so we're doing the three beeps. And so we go through the first couple lines and we're, like, kind of flying through it. And there's, like, no issues and no hiccups. And she's like, you haven't done this before, right? And I was like, no, this is my first time. She's like, do you have any kind of musical background? Because your ability to kind of just catch the rhythm and the tempo is very impressive. And I was like, no. And this is where I kind of tie in the athlete component, and where you wouldn't think that it's a transferable skill, but a lot of the things that I learned in athletics have helped me in voiceover. So a lot of times when we're doing drills and things, the coach has the whistle, tweet, 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 tweet. And you've got to be able to go and be ready and turn on a dime. And so the three beeps, here we go. I was like, oh, I've been doing this for years. So matching the timing for me was not hard at all. It was more so making sure that the performance and the acting was good.
So I've heard some sort of rough tales about Source Connect from like reading Twitter and all that. Apparently Source Connect is a bit of an interesting piece of software and that, but when it works, I've been told it really does work. Do you actually get to see the anime at all, or do you only get to hear it? Because I've never actually interacted with the program, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, so when we recorded, we used Source Connect and Zoom at the same time. So we were on Source Connect just with the audio, and then Zoom was so that I could actually see the animation. I didn't get to see the faces of the folks working on the other side. and I don't know if that's just because of, like, maybe with, you know, home studios, they're like, they're trying to give people, you know, some of their personal space and all that. So I didn't actually get to see any faces, which was kind of sad. But I do look forward to when we, you know, as a world, we're all vaccinated and everything's good to go and things have calmed down. I look forward to being in a booth and actually getting to have a real kind of face-to-face in-studio experience. Because when I actually started voice acting, I signed with an agent probably about a year, probably closer to 9 months, about 9 months into being like, I'm a voice actor now, right? So I signed with this agency in Los Angeles. And I remember I got on the phone with my, this is so funny. So I get on the phone with her and she's like, I'm going to be completely honest with you. This is probably the worst time ever to try to be a voice actor. Because this was like right at the mid peak of the pandemic. She was like, there's not as many jobs. The frequency is much decreased because there's just not as much money going around. And so the actors that are super talented that have been doing this for years are kind of going to be taking all of the jobs. And so for a newbie just coming in, this is a really, really rough time for you to try and start. And so I was like, this is what I want to do. I'll roll the dice. We'll see how it goes. And so from start to finish, not one time have I had the like in-studio experience. So I have no idea what that's actually like.
Because I was actually going to ask, because of the whole thing, do you prefer being in a studio or remote? But you've already had remote. Is your recording in a closet? Because that seems to be the trend. Everyone has it in a wardrobe next to coats, you know?
So I was fortunate in that. So we have me and my girlfriend, I wouldn't say we're minimalist, but we don't have a lot of stuff. So we've got this huge walk-in closet and nothing to basically fill it with. So when we moved in, I was like, oh, great, we'll just turn this to a voice acting studio. So we've covered the walls from head to toe in acoustic foam and got all the good stuff. So it looks very professional to walk in. And that's actually, when I was watching your other video, when you were talking to the other cast members, they had their microphones and their kind of setups, and they were, you know, talking to their mics. So I don't have, my mic is actually like mounted. All of my stuff is mounted into my walls. So I can't actually like take it out and like move it. So when I need to like do as face to face as this is, a lot of times I'm just like, I got to use my computer mic and I hope that it sounds good. Cause I actually don't have any lighting in my studio. So it's like totally dark when I'm in there recording.
Yeah, I've got my little Rode here. But although I did hear that Michael said he does record in the closet, but I believe Stephen records where we saw him in the video, and it must be interesting just doing all these different things day in, day out. I actually do quite sort of like, I wish I could do that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. What would you say to anyone wanting to start out? What's the number one thing you should do to start out?
The number one thing I would say to do to start out, well, it's kind of like a two-parter. Yeah. I'm gonna cheat a little. The first one is do your research. And that leads into coaching, classes, teaching, something. Have someone who's much further along than you teach you. And so really the coaching is the big thing. But the reason why I say do your research is you want to make sure that the person that's teaching you is someone that's credentialed, someone that has a track record, someone that has experience proving that, hey, I can produce people that can go on and make successful voiceover careers. Because it's very, like right now, right? Like someone might be watching this and think, Eli would be a great person to reach out to and teach me how to do voiceover. No, don't ask me. I'm barely far enough along myself that I shouldn't be teaching other people. So I would say just make sure that whoever you're learning from is someone that's seasoned and really can kind of show you the ins and outs and really has a good understanding of the current trends, whether it be commercials, whether it be animation, whether it be audiobooks or e-learning or whatever it might be, because there's so many different aspects of voiceover. And, you know, I think everyone wants to do the character stuff, right? Because that's the fun. That's what gets you invited to conventions. That's where
the silly voices and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, you get to do the silly voices, you get to be in video games, you can show it to your kids and all that great stuff. But you might get into it and realize maybe character is not the best fit for you. And maybe you're going to crush it doing audiobooks. Maybe you'll crush it doing medical narration. You know, there's a very specific skill set for all of these things. And, you know, just don't necessarily get married to the idea of what you want your career to look like, you know. Go towards where you're successful. You know, if I'm successful in this, you know, put your time and energy. Not saying you have to completely drop the other thing, but you're going to run yourself ragged if you're trying to chase after a very specific type of thing and it's just not coming to you. Because like I said earlier, you know, probably maybe one out of every 50 auditions I read for is a character auditions. And out of that, I'll probably only book maybe one out of every 300 to 400. So if you're like, I really want to be a character actor, well, you're going to be a starving artist unless you've got another job on the side.
Because Michael did say that you've got to get used to rejection as well. You've got to get used to, I can't remember exactly what Stephen said, but it was basically like send and forget. Because you're doing so much, you just send that off, and you may never hear from them again. And then when you get the one that comes back and go, what did I do for this one again?
Yeah, that's so true. And especially with commercials, because if you're signed to an agent, the majority of the things that they're going to do, they're going to be sending you commercial because that's what makes the most of their money. Yeah. And that's why I tell folks that ask, you know, if you're really serious about voice over and you're not independently wealthy, like if you've got your own side hustle and you're making tons of money and, you know, you want to do voice acting as like a fun thing. Oh, great. But if you want to make this a career, you need to understand that commercials are going to be a big part of the pie for you. In most agencies, they want to hear a commercial demo. If you got a character demo, great. Awesome. Fun. But commercials is really what their focus is. And so we're going to get way, 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 way more of those. And so you're going to really have to get used to the rejection. I would say I've probably, man, it's got to be close to 1,000. It's got to be like close to 1,000 no's in the commercial department. And with that, what's even more jarring as opposed to character, a lot of times when you get the character script, unless it's something that's confidential where they're doing code names and stuff, a lot of times when you get the character work, at least what you read is probably going to be close to the finished product that you hear on the screen. A lot of times with commercials, you'll read it and you'll be like, ah, I auditioned for it. And then you'll hear it on TV and you'll be like, that's not even close to what they sent me. How was I supposed to know that's what they wanted? I feel like I got bamboozled. So
I was actually going to ask, has there been any commercials where you've done and you've been passed over and then you hear it and you're like, I could have done that better.
Oh, so not necessarily that, but what was super funny is I got sent a commercial script and they sent a reference. And they're like, this is the reference, this is what we want, you know, kind of the tone we're looking for. But you don't have to, we don't want you to be exactly like this guy. We want you to add your own flavor to it, but this is kind of the theme, the feel of the commercial, right? So I was like, all right, cool. Give my best take, send it off. Month later, our girlfriend was sitting here watching Hulu. The commercial comes up, and the guy that they used for the reference was the guy they actually hired to do the commercial. And I was like, why did we even bother? What was the point?
What was the whole point of that? Yeah. Oh, goodness me. Oh, dear me. I do feel kind of bad because I'm like, oh, I'm preventing you from doing more auditions or anything like that.
No. So today is actually, and with voice actors, because you know, we really are kind of independent contractors, right? You know, we don't have to clock in and clock out. There's not a schedule. We are really responsible for our own kind of work ethic. And so this past weekend, I actually officiated a wedding. My two friends got married, and so it was a really cool experience. And so I was like, I knew Monday I was going to be totally fried. So I didn't have anything on the calendar because I spent all weekend talking and speaking and all that good stuff. So today is a lax day for me. So you picked probably the best day for us to sit down and chat.
I had to build up the courage, really, because I could have done it last Friday, and I'm like, I'll give it some days, and then you said Monday, I'm like, yeah, that'll do. I'm just trying to think of those other things I wanted to ask you. Oh yes, because Kingdom Hearts. I've played Kingdom Hearts. I've played 358/2 days. I've played 1. I've played 2. I've got 3 on my computer here.
Ooh, okay.
I haven't finished 3, and I've kind of done 1 and 2, but I'm not as super knowledgeable on the characters. But if you could voice any character in the Kingdom Hearts franchise, who would you be?
Oh my gosh, that is brutal. There's so many good picks. Because, you know, it's funny when I think about that, I think about all of the characters that I love hearing their voices, and I'm like, I don't want to switch them out for me. Like, I want to keep hearing them. So if I was going to play someone, I would be someone who hasn't appeared yet. So if they were going to put me as someone in the Kingdom Hearts franchise, so I think about in Kingdom Hearts 1, when you're on Destiny Islands and there's Tidus and Selphie and Waka, right? We just kind of see the younger versions of them. If they maybe made a reappearance in Kingdom Hearts 4, right? Yeah. I would love to be older Tidus. I would love to play the role of older Tidus.
Oh,
I think that'd be
super.
Yeah,
you'd be good. Yeah, I can definitely hear that. That'd be really good. Because I went back and listened to a lot of the OST and that from Kingdom Hearts. I'm like, oh, I really want to play these games again now. It's just your fault. I want to play them again. And after I thought, oh, I'll make the background of Twilight Town because I really like Twilight Town.
It's a vicious cycle. Once you, especially now with all of the remake and remaster collections, yeah. Like how you can just, they're right there. You know, you can just bang them out one after the other.
That's like I could play them right here, right now. Is there any other any video games that you particularly like playing at the minute, or do you not really play them at the minute?
Oh, see, I feel like I'm so, I don't know if I would say bad compared to other voice actors, but I still watch tons of anime. I still play video games all the time. I think it's because it's something that I've done for so long, and I'm very efficient in kind of like how I schedule my time. And so I have extra time to do these things, and it's fun doing these things. Now, I will say, folks, if you're listening to this, if you're a new voice actor, disclaimer, make sure you allot plenty of time into your schedule so that you have lots of time to auditions and practice and all those things. But once you've kind of got your rhythm figured out, you know, play back, do the fun stuff. So things that I'm playing right now. So I'm obviously a big Kingdom Hearts fan, and for folks, I don't know if we've mentioned this. So I have a YouTube channel where I've started this series. Basically, I talk about how I would rewrite Kingdom Hearts. And so I'm constantly having to go back and like find little bit parts. Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm constantly having to go back and play little parts so that I can get a refresher on kind of what that feels like and give me new ideas. But if I'm not playing Kingdom Hearts, I'm probably playing Fallout. I love Fallout 4. not a huge 76 thumbs upper, but you know.
I haven't played 76, but I have played Fallout 1, 2, and 3.
The classics, 1 and 2.
I think if I had to pick, I'd probably say 3 alike. I haven't probably played New Vegas, but I do like 4 as well.
Right on, right on. Other things that I definitely go through cycles. I'm definitely not on like the new game comes out, I want to play the new game. I play something and then I'm like, oh, I forgot I haven't played this in a long time. Like I was just thinking about, because my birthday is coming up soon, and I was thinking about what I wanted for my birthday, and I was like, you know what I should do? I should ask my parents to send me my old PS2 so I can go play some old PS2 games. So if I'm not playing Fallout or Kingdom Hearts, I'm probably playing a Final Fantasy or Persona game. I really like Persona 5, Persona 5 Royal. I've got the Platinum and Royal, which is like the easiest Platinum to get, but...
I haven't played Royal. I have played Persona 5. I think it's really good. I thought the anime was pretty good as well. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah!
The soundtrack's really good as well, I'd say.
Top tier.
Also been playing Persona 4 off and on. I could only play it for a little bit, then I take a break, and then I'll play it again.
I would say that what I love about the Persona cast is, you know, a lot of times with voice, and I'm sure that, you know, talking to other voice actors, you probably hear this a lot, is we don't really actually ever meet face-to-face or in person, unless there's like some kind of event where people are all brought together, and especially not on the commercial side. We're never...
You never see anyone.
Yeah, you're never going to meet another commercial voice actor unless it's at a, you know, some weird... interaction where you just talk about your jobs, and so just getting to watch them kind of interact on Twitter, getting to watch them interact in these, you know, little get-togethers and gatherings and things, and I feel like that's so abnormal for kind of the voiceover world, and it's, I'm like, man, what a like a great draw to be part of something so special. And so I think about every time I see one of the cast members, I'm like, 10 out of 10 would recommend.
that was the thing I really loved when because I emailed Michael and Steven together. I put them in the same email. And they both said yes. And then when we actually got connected like this, we started talking. And it's just like, oh, yeah, this is the first time we've actually seen each other. I was like, wait, what? disembodied voices to each other. And they're like, yeah, we don't actually interact. It's like, what? You know, mind blown.
So, you know, it's funny is even though they're both in the episode that I was in, so the way scheduling works was I actually was like one of the first English people to record. And so I heard no one else's English voice like going through the recording process. And so I was like, oh, I have no idea what any of these people are going to sound like. Because when I was watching Dragon Ghost House Hunting, I was only watching the sub. So I hadn't heard any of the English voice actors. And so, yeah, I didn't hear anyone else's voice. I had no one else to play off of. It was literally just like me. But I was used to that from commercials. Because with commercials, we don't have that back and forth. You are the star of the show.
I said, I'm one of these people that likes dub or sub. It doesn't really bother me. And I really do hate the snobbish people. Oh, you can only watch the sub. No, shush. You know, just watch how you want to watch. And I really do appreciate the amount of effort that goes into dubs, because people go, oh, English dub's so lazy. It's all it's crappily translated and they don't match the flaps and all that. And yet you learn these days, they put so much work and effort into making sure that everything is as perfect as it can be. And they still get trodden on. And it's like, come on, give them a chance. They're so good these days. This is not the ADV, whatever it was in the 90s. That was terrible. You know, where it was just badly dubbed and badly synced. And you're like, oh, God, shut up, please. Oh.
Well, you know, I think it is that for folks that are, you know, kind of sitting on the periphery, right? For those of us that are working in this field, that are working in this industry, you got to keep in mind, a lot of us are fans. Like, we grew up watching this stuff just as you did. And so we have way more of a reverence for these things. And so we want to give it our best. We want to make sure that it's authentic and sounds good. And, you know, we can really deliver a product that is as close to the original as possible. So, I like you were saying, when we're talking about, like, the 90s, the 80s and the 90s, anime wasn't really over here in the West yet the way that it is now. So,
no, because it's one of those. I said this to Michael and Steven that I was really surprised that Dragon got picked up for a dub, because usually in my head it was, oh, only the popular shows get a dub. But now these days they seem to be throwing everything a dub just to try and catch as many people as they can. And the amount of anime that's out there, the amount of choice is just incredible these days. You know, there's pretty much anything for anyone, really. It's amazing. Is there any classic anime that you particularly like? It's like, for me, I like Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, because I really enjoyed that. But is there any sort of from back sort of early 2000s that you like?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So my very first anime that I ever watched, first one I ever saw on TV, was actually Yu Yu Hakusho.
Ah.
And so for those of you that are familiar with, you know, the Cartoon Network American TV block of Adult Swim, it was 11 o'clock at night, Yu Yu Hakusho would come on. And at the time, I'm like 6 or 7 years old. And so I would sneak at night, and I would wait for my parents to go to sleep, and I would like close my doors quietly as I could. I would cut the TV on and I'd watch Yu Yu Hakusho. And that was like my very first exposure to anime. It was this thing that was different. And I was like, they say curse words in cartoons? Like, and so that was my first experience.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah. And so again, that was my first foray into anime. Other ones, also because, again, growing up in that sort of that era, so we're talking about Dragon Ball Z, Gundam Wing. I specifically really enjoy the original series of Gundam. I also like Gundam Unicorn, but that's not early 2000s, that's more recent. those early Gundam anime, Dragon Ball Z, Yu Hakusho, those things, Trigun, all the things that were introduced to us through Adult Swim or Toonami, all hold a very special place in my heart.
Yeah, you lot were very, very lucky to get sort of Adult Swim Toonami. We did not get this in the UK. Anime was usually only either the very, very sort of kid-friendly stuff, I'm talking like four kids era stuff. So like, this is like your Pokemon, your Digimon. Okay. The very there was like Neon Genesis Evangelion, but that was shown like very late night on Channel 4 as it was over here. And so you never really saw it, or if a TV a network had an anime day or night, so you might get a few episodes of just a random anime, be it what was it about Escaflowne?
Okay.
And that. So my proper experience to anime was thanks to the internet. But sort of late 90s, early 2000s, I had access to the internet. So I started being exposed to the show and all that. So that's how I started getting into all these things. And then obviously like stuff like, you know, like Pokemon and that, I just adored. And that's how, for me, that's how it sort of all spilled out. And now these days, as I said, there's just so much choice. You can watch anime for the rest of your life and still find new shows.
Yeah,
so much fun. But I do like the fact that you're sneaking out to watch a Yu Yu Hakusho. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's really good.
So I was going to ask, you mentioned it. So do you play Pokemon like competitively or?
Not competitively. No.
Okay.
I used to be good against my nieces and nephews, and now they're better than me. So it's like, yeah, no. I'll still play it. You know, I've got my Switch here, but it's
right on.
You know, I've been playing Pokemon since Red and Blue. Because I'm that old, because I'm 35, but I'm still a big child.
Season,
indeed. And it's like, I do love how anime is such a big thing these days. And one of the things I kind of want to do with this series, I'm just kind of going behind the dub, is that I want to speak to those who have done dubbing. I know you only did your first one with Dragon, but it's still an experience for you, and you've got a slightly different perspective because you've done a lot of commercials, and that's why I wanted to try and talk to as many people as I can about these dubs, because I do feel like some people just get so snobbish. It's like, come on, given that they're hardworking guys and girls who are all fantastically talented, and it deserves more expression in my personal opinion.
Yeah, you know, I think you're absolutely right. So earlier, like I mentioned, going back when I was talking about My Hero, Rico Fajardo, David, I think it's Matrenga. Oh, sorry if I mispronounced that. But he voices Todoroki in that show. Like, we're talking about people that have master's degrees in performing arts, people that have backgrounds in theater. Like, these aren't people that are just casually walking off the street that have like, I've never read a line a day in my life, and I'm going to start, you know, doing these performances. And so there are some people that you're saying that are incredibly talented that are putting their time and effort into making these really great, amazing kind of shows for our entertainment. And I say our because I'm a fan too, you know? And it's one of those things where, and you hear a lot of voice actors that work in anime probably say this, that, you know, it doesn't pay a whole lot. No one that works in anime does it for the money. You know, they do it for the love of it. And that is 100% true, because I can tell you the difference between what I see for the payout for a commercial script and the difference of what I see on an anime script. They're two very different numbers. So it's definitely because it's got to be something you love and you enjoy.
That was I hit the wrong button. I stopped the recording, but thankfully it was just at a stop. So I was like, fingerless with that. So yeah, I have heard that from one of the voice actors. Actually, is Eric Stewart. He says that commercial work pays so much more because it's less time as well. You're just in maybe an hour, and then you're out, and then you've got you've got your paycheck there. And it must be quite daunting, because you have to do all this work, and I envy you, but I also don't envy you, because it's like I'd just be a wreck of nerves. I want to hear back for this one, and I'm not very great with rejection, so sometimes it'd be like, oh, I really wanted that role. It must be really, really hard for you to get yourself in that right mindset of, I can do this, I am worthwhile. And
well, you know, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because I struggled with that a lot, especially this past year. Because I'm a big extrovert. I love talking to people. I love being out and about. And so when you add in kind of the lockdown, and then you add in the rejection from not getting jobs, I was definitely feeling down on myself. And I remember watching this video with Patrick Seitz. I think that's how you say it. Sorry if I mispronounced the last name. So Patrick is the voice of Endeavor in My Hero Academia. He's also the voice of Jiren in Dragon Ball Super. But I was watching this interview with him where he was talking about just, you know, advice that he would give to up and coming voice actors, people that want to do it. And one of the things that he said was, you know, it would be super beneficial to you as an actor to make sure that you have some kind of creative outlet outside of what you're getting paid for. He was like, because if your only creative fulfillment is coming from your work, every time you don't book a job, you're being denied that chance for fulfillment. And I was like, whoa, like that's such good advice. I didn't even think about that. I hadn't even thought about how I wasn't getting that kind of creative juice bump that I might have been getting when I was doing, you know, other things just for silly fun. Because like, now the pressure's on, this is your job. And that's kind of why I started making YouTube videos, because it was, here's this creative outlet where it's no harm, no foul, no pressure, just thing I can do for fun. Whether people like it or they don't like it, but it's just a way I can kind of get that creative juices, those creative juices flowing, and just have that other outlet, so that when I do get denied from that audition, you know, which is inevitable, you know, from that 100th audition, it doesn't sting as bad, because it's not like, well, this is the only way I can express my creativity, which is really cool. And so that's a great piece of advice that I would pass on to other people as well. Again, not me. Thank Patrick for that one. And yeah, you know, it's actually funny about that. After I started doing the Kingdom Hearts Remake series on YouTube, I listened back to my voice in the very first video, and I listened back to my voice in the most recent video, and the difference in my voice acting ability is so dramatic in just a few months of having the ability to kind of just be behind the microphone more, at my own pace, at my own tempo, how much more relaxed and how much more clear and concise it is. So it definitely helps. Having something else where you can kind of fine-tune your skills on your own time, whatever it might be, it's going to be beneficial to you.
That is really good advice. Have a creative outlet, because it's just like, you know, as I said, just projection, especially sort of this year when we're all sort of cooped up, and you know, you need that endorphin rush. So yeah, having an outlet like that, it must be fantastic.
So good, so good. And you know, it's great because I get to nerd out with all these fellow Kingdom Hearts fans, and we get to talk about something that was so meaningful to us as children. And it's so funny too, because I remember when I started it, my girlfriend was like, your coach, your voice acting coach is probably like, I taught you how to do all this stuff, and this is like what you're using your voice acting ability for. And I was like, I'm still doing the other stuff too, but this is, you know, this is more for me. This is the fun thing that I get to do. And yeah, and it's just been really great. I try my best not to super blend those two worlds, because I want them to kind of exist in their own. Like, I don't want people to only watch my YouTube videos because they're like, oh, I know he's a voice actor. And I also don't want people to go maybe follow my voiceover career because they know that I make Kingdom Hearts videos. I want them to, you know, enjoy those two things separately. And if they just so happen to figure out the overlap, great. But I try not to plug I try not to plug one in the other, if that makes sense.
Like I said, when I was doing research, I stumbled across your YouTube channel and I gave it a watch, and I was just like, this is really good. Because you just come up and make it so natural. Your editing skills and the videos are actually far better than what I can do. I'm still learning. And they're really enjoyable, really informative videos. I'm not saying that because you're here. I'm literally saying they are really good videos.
And, well, you know, that's another thing on the transferable creative outlet piece. So when I started doing voiceover, a year and a half ago, and I was just kind of, I just signed with my agent and, you know, wasn't really booking a whole lot. I was still kind of learning and navigating. I started making these kind of silly, like, voice actor related videos and posting them on Twitter. And it was through making those that I learned how to do video editing. And so you just never know how skills are going to translate. So go have your little fun passion projects and the things that you want to do, because you might actually be able to take those same skills and apply them to your career. You just never know how it's going to play out.
You never know. Right, yeah. Well, we've just ticked over an hour here, so I don't want to really keep you too much.
Oh my gosh, already?
Yeah, I know. The time just goes whoosh. It goes so much by, and this is the point where I start getting a bit antsy, because it's like, oh, he's been so nice. I don't want to let him go. But seriously, Eli, thank you very much for your time this evening. It has been an absolute pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you all for listening. Plus, feel free to follow, like, and subscribe for more episodes coming in the future. This is Kraken, signing out.